Morning conquerors all over the world, Esther H joining you on www.riseupconqueror.com, day 4 of our self-deliverance and inner healing challenge. Remember, this is not a means to an end in itself. Self-deliverance is a lifestyle of a Christian. It continues till death. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, says Philippians 2 and 12. Right, today before we begin, remember our anchor scripture, Matthew 7, verse 16 to 24, that after all has been said and done and it is all over, are you going to be invited into heaven? Or you are one of those that Jesus will say, depart from me, I never knew you, even though you will contend that you worked for him in church, you healed people and you performed miracles. He will say, I didn't know you because you were not working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Right, I want to start off in a very, very familiar portion of scripture in the Bible. This is Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Today we are dealing with a favorite topic of mine, the fear of the Lord. I love this topic. This is the anchor of every Christian. If in your life as a Christian, you are not aware of the concept or the doctrine of the fear of the Lord, then you haven't started working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Come with me to Hosea chapter 4 verse 6. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. Wow. Terrible place to be. I don't know if you could just reflect on your life. If you have ever come to a point where you have asked, is God even around? Is God here? Is God with me? If you have ever asked the question, does God even exist? And yet you have continued to be in church. And yet for some reason, maybe you have even given up serving, and then there are others who continue to serve for other reasons, but really the factor of God was ceased to be at the top of it all. I want to talk to you today, the subject of the fear of the Lord. God is very mindful of his honor. God is very mindful and self-aware of his lordship and his sovereignty. As we discussed in day one, he is king above all things. He is majesty. He is preeminent. He is all-knowing. He existed before time. He transcends through time. He will always be there. Whether we worship him or not, he will still be God. That is the worst part of it all, that without our worship, he will still be God. However, he has made it very easier for us by creating us to worship him. What more can a man ask for? If he wants to be worshipped, we should give it to him because it's for our own good. Right. Want to start by looking at in today's topic of the fear of the Lord. One of the things that show us that we do not fear the Lord at all is a sinful nature. It is the seed of the enemy, the seed of the devil in us, that causes us to disregard the authority of God in our lives or here on earth. The sinful nature that causes us to take our salvation for granted. Right, come with me. We are in the book of We're starting in the book of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 to 26. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other. When you get born again, you become alive as a spirit being, called to worship because of the Spirit of the Lord that enters you. And because of that Spirit, you cease to be flesh. And you must now work out your salvation by transferring your mindset, your thoughts, your intents and everything that concerns you from the realm of the flesh to the realm of the spirit. Once you are in the realm of the spirit and you are aware of your being as a spirit, it will be easier for you to beat the lust of the flesh. Now it says in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such alike, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, this is very important for us going forward. If we are not going to determine in our hearts that we are going to fear the Lord and therefore work our salvation with fear and with trembling to depart from such works as these, works that cause unbelief, where we are haunted by past actions, where we have gone to consult other gods, where we have lied and cheated, where we have been wars and warmongers, where we have been backsliding and have just really been unable to maintain our faith because we were caught up in the things of this world, partying, drinking, the likes of slandering. All these things will cause us to fall back and not enter into the kingdom of God. Some of it also includes anger, just being angry. And I like how Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26 puts it. It says, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You know, if you're going to be angry, at least don't sleep angry. At least by the time you go to bed, you are supposed to have worked it out, surrendered it to God, for God to deal with it and carry on with our lives. These are simple rules, and yet they are complicated because we work so hard to hold on and not work out our salvation. We work so hard to be our own gods, to be in charge of our own lives, to be in charge of everything that concerns us. And it all comes in the way of us living as spirit beings. There is so much that the Apostle Paul teaches us about living in the spirit, avoiding the works of the flesh. Some of the works of the flesh listed in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go to verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto others. So we need to guard our mouth. We need to watch that whatever we are speaking, it is going to bless the next person who is hearing it. And most times when we are slandering, when we are backbiting, it is not blessing the next person. Neither does it bless the person whom we are slandering. So we need to work on all that. There's a lot of work to be done. It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. So by the time you receive Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, the Holy Spirit is in you. And when you do the works of the flesh, cheating, murders, lying, idolatry, we spoke about them all, you grieve the Holy Spirit within you. And that is not fair. That is not nice. As is another portion of scripture. Sorry, I don't have the scripture right here with me. The one that says, when you continue to sin, you continue to nail Christ on the cross. How cruel can that be? You know, to continuously nail him again. It's like nailing him again, because he came to die for us for sins, because of our sinful nature, that we may be redeemed and bought back from the shackles of the enemy into the kingdom of life. But when we continue to sin knowingly, when we continue to sin like that, it's like we are nailing him again and again. And how evil can we get? Devil's advocate. On verse 31, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. We are exhorted to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Right, enough of this talk about the sinful nature, because today we really want to talk about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is that spirit in you that you receive after you get born again, that will tell you when you are sinning, that you are sinning, that conscience beat that will advise you to stop. Right. Most of the times people are being advised, you are being tapped at the back by the Holy Spirit to stop doing what you're doing that you know is evil and is unkind and is wrong. But most of the times we exalt ourselves against that nudging and we carry on with the sin only to regret later. Today I want to just exhort you that without exercising the fear of the Lord, there's not really much fruit you can gain from being in the kingdom of God and even in the world. So let's go a bit into this concept of the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Okay, before we go to Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5, let's just go to Jeremiah 5, actually. Let's start in Jeremiah 5. Jeremiah 5, this is the one I want to start with. Jeremiah 5, verse 21 to 25. It says, "Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will you not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail? Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it? But this people hath a revolting, a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest." It concludes there on verse 25 by saying, "Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you." So God is expressing concern over how he is so great a God that he could decree and put a decree that the waters could not pass over the sands of the sea. But if he could do that, and he is so big a God, and it is clear in everything that we see in all of creation, the wonders of the world, it is clear that he is God, it is clear that he is powerful. And yet he is expressing concern over our revolting nature, our revolting heart, a heart that doesn't want to bow down to him. And then he says, you know, "I give you rain, I give you the former rain and the latter rain." Rain talks of blessings, talks of all the good things. Most of you are in church because you are looking for blessings. You're looking for good things. It might be a job. It can be a husband, a wife. It can be a business project. It can be just life, for life to be good. Everyone wants a good life. But God is saying it is your iniquities that have turned away these things from you. Your sins have withholden good things from you. I don't know about you, but me just knowing this gives me a consciousness to stay away from sin. There are about three verses, Proverbs 19, 23, Proverbs 1, verse 7, and Job 28, 28, that declare, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom." So before you can exercise the fear of the Lord, you are a fool. You don't know anything. You might have gone through college, through university. You might hold a doctorate. Whatever it is that you have, without the fear of the Lord, you are the greatest fool earth has ever seen. Find wisdom. It starts with fearing God. At the time of sin, when you are being nudged to stop it, the ability to stop, the obedience to say no to sin, that is the beginning of wisdom. Lastly, I want to go to a scripture that touched my heart, and that will be Matthew 12. Hallelujah. I'm hoping this is getting home. If it's not, we have a problem. In Matthew 12, in Matthew 12, verse 43, it says, "When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out, and when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh him himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Jesus speaking again, calling it a wicked generation, the generation of those that are being nudged by the Holy Spirit to stop sinning, and they continue to sin. Once the devil or the demon has left you, you go through deliverance, or you declare today that you don't want to do it again, it will go, because the authority of God is in you. When you speak in the name of Jesus, the spirit will go that is bothering you. It could be unbelief, it could be lying, it could be stealing, it could be adultery, fornication, it could be envying, slander, you name it. If you speak today and repent and confess, the power of God that is in you in the name of Jesus will send it off. But it will go to dry places and come back, and it finds the house clean. It will go away, but it will not stop. It will try again to come back. And when it comes back this time, because it saw the place clean, it's coming back with seven worse and more wicked demons. And when it comes back, if you are not careful, your state will be worse than it was ever before. So this work of working out your salvation with fear and trembling is an ongoing process to keep demons out, to keep wickedness out. Otherwise, it will keep coming and you will be worse off. Hallelujah. I'm trusting this is getting home, because if it is not, there is a problem. Hallelujah. Turn with me to our last scripture for today, and we are done. Our last scripture for today, and we are done. That will be Psalm 33, verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Remember, we talked about death. Death is not just death of the physical body. It also includes death cycles, things not working out, abortions of businesses, of projects, of relationships, the whole works. It says if you fear God, you will be delivered from death. And even in famine, when other people are dying, you will have plenty. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. I want to flee from sin and be fed all the way through. I don't want to be worried about drought in Zimbabwe. I don't want to be worried about famine anyway. I want to hold on to God and make sure that my turf is covered and I'm being fed and I'm not going hungry. Finally, Proverbs 19 and 23, just to show you how good it is to fear the Lord. It is good. You get wisdom. You start to know God on a different level. You are delivered from famine, from hunger, from doubt, from drought, and more importantly, from death and death cycles. The spirit of death has got to leave you alone when you decide and make it a commitment to fear the Lord at all times and be sensitive to the ministering of the Holy Spirit in awakening you to sin, so you can flee it. In chapter 19 of Proverbs, verse 23, it says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. There is your blank check to protection. There is your highway code to fullness of life. It is the fear of the Lord. There is your ticket to satisfaction in life. It is the fear of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I don't know what it's going to be for you. I have been tremendously blessed. Day 4 of our 7-day self-deliverance and inner healing challenge. Today we were talking about the fear of the Lord. I pray, brothers and sisters, that God will awaken in you the spirit to fear the Lord and flee from evil. On day 1 we talked about if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. It just really aligns with the fear of the Lord. Signing out, my name is Esther Edge. Join me again tomorrow on Rise Up Conqueror, where falling is not the problem, but failing to rise up is. Let us continue in this work of purging ourselves, coming wholeheartedly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. Rise up, conqueror.